Welcome to the Gift of Giving Life podcast, where we talk about the spirituality of pregnancy and birth. All types of birth can be spiritual, and I'm happy to spend some episodes focusing on cesarean births. Be sure to check out the first episode of this season, where I share an excerpt from the book entitled Tips to Create a Sacred Cesarean. I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes. I'm excited to share this cesarean birth experience that Hillary shared with us. Tuesday, December 27th, I had my 39-week appointment with my midwife. We chatted for a minute, and then I laid down so she could find the heartbeat. It was taking a lot longer than normal. I wasn't worried since I'd felt the baby moving 5 minutes earlier, but I didn't like that look on her face. I may not have been worried, but she definitely was. Finally, after what felt like forever, but was probably only a minute or less, she found the baby's heartbeat, apparently in a place she did not want to find it. She asked if he'd been moving a lot lately, and at first I said nothing big, that he moved all the time, that I hadn't felt any major movement. Then I thought back to Christmas Eve or Christmas night, I can't remember which, when I made Greg lie next to me in bed with his hand on my stomach for a good half hour because of the tumbling act Owen was putting on. My midwife didn't flat out say he was breech, but she scheduled me for an ultrasound at the OB's office in less than an hour. So I ran home, got Greg, and my mom came over to watch my kids, and we headed in. The whole time I was thinking, he can't be breech, he can't be breech, he can't be breech. They started the ultrasound, and immediately, a very recognizable little butt showed up on the screen. He was breech. The next several days were filled with me doing weird inversion exercises, going to the chiropractor, getting acupuncture, and praying like I've never prayed before. We were never optionless, but my options in this situation were limited, and I wasn't liking anything other than he magically flips himself back into position and labor starts spontaneously, but that was looking less and less likely. The decision was made I would come to the hospital on Friday, December 30th, where they would attempt an external version, where they tried to flip the baby from the outside. If he flipped, they wanted to induce labor immediately, basically lock him into position while they could. While not ideal, it was the preferable option to me versus the alternative, a C-section. The being cut open thing was a little freaky, but it wasn't the worst part by any means. It was the idea of recovery. The no picking things up over 10 pounds, no stairs, no driving. None of this seemed very conducive to my life at home with a 17-month-old, two other children, and three stories of house. However, throughout the week, an ever-growing sense of peace inched its way into my heart. I thought it was because the version would work and I'd be able to go on to have the birth I'd planned on, at least for the most part. Turns out, once again, this kid had different plans. A mere 6 hours before we were supposed to leave for the hospital, my water broke. It was 1 a.m. I jumped up, woke up Greg, and told him to call my parents. Once my water had broken, it was game over for a vaginal birth in our case. They couldn't try flipping the baby at that point, so I knew what we were going to the hospital for. And oddly, I felt really good about it. My water breaking was an answer to prayers I didn't even realize I'd been asking for. It was confirmation to me that my baby, my body, had picked the time for birth. I hadn't forced anything by doing a version or getting an induction, both choices I was fine with making, of course. It was just reassuring to me when my water broke and left us with one clear answer. I wasn't nervous anymore. I was still freaked out about the recovery, but the surgery itself I was pretty chill with. And it no longer seemed like the undesirable choice. It was just the way this baby needed to come into the world, and who was I to argue with that, or stress, or worry about it? It was right, and I knew it. We called my sister Star, who, after being out of town for the last two births in our family, was finally here to be part of the birth. She met us at the hospital, and the next several hours were ridiculously fun. Star, Greg, the nurse, the midwife, and I had such a good time laughing and joking. At first, I don't think the nurse knew what to think of us, laughing so hard it kept messing up the monitors they had on the baby. The midwife had been up for over 24 hours, though, so she was already slap happy. The nurse warmed up to us, though, and was totally getting a kick out of our witty repertoire. Or at least it seemed witty at 3 a.m. It took over 2 hours for them to get an ultrasound to confirm the baby was breech. Finally, someone from the ER brought up their ultrasound machine. We got to see Owen flaunt his butt one last time. And then it was go time, which could not have come soon enough for me. I was in labor now. Not hard labor. It felt much like Isaac's did last time, but I was contracting pretty regularly. Just after 4 a.m, Owen was born, but not without scaring us first. It had never dawned on me the dangers to... It had never dawned on me that the dangers associated with delivering a breech baby vaginally are also an issue delivering the baby through an incision. He was still coming out feet first, which was the first problem we ran into. Turns out he wasn't just frank breech, meaning butt first, but at some point he had gotten 1 foot down below himself and 1 foot up above. He was in the splits. It took them a minute to wrestle his feet out. I remember them saying, "Where is that other leg?" But since I couldn't see anything, that this was all very weird and trippy to me. Soon they were excited that they got his legs out. Then his head was stuck, his chin firmly anchoring him inside of me. It took another minute before he was out. The whole time I kept thinking, this is taking so long. Why haven't they picked him up to show me? They were working on him and things weren't going well, and Greg asked why he wasn't moving. My brain could not compute what was happening. Finally, he moved and breathed and they rushed him straight over to the warmer and started working on him there. I'd still never had anyone hold him up, but I could see him now if I turned my head to the side. I watched his little tight fists and arms suddenly go limp, and a few seconds later he tightened up again and finally started to cry. I think Greg was a lot more scared than I was since he was able to take it all in. By the time I could even compute what had happened, he was fine. His initial Apgar score was a 4, but was up to 9 by 5 minutes, and he's done fine ever since. It was a full 22 minutes before anyone picked up my baby and showed him to me. Greg brought him over at that point, lowered him down by my head, and I kissed him. And then because Owen was screaming about the awkward angle he was being held at, I just told Greg to take him and cuddle him to his chest, and I would need to wait to see him again when we were done. The previous 22 minutes of surgery had gone by quickly as I'd been engrossed in trying to figure out what was going on with my baby. The last 10 to 15 minutes were excruciatingly long. I hated the pulling and tugging feelings, and I just had to close my eyes and go to my happy place. When they said they were done, they moved me to the rolling bed and handed me my baby. I was in heaven. I just cuddled him the entire time we were walked back to the room. As soon as we got there, he latched on and started nursing. He's a pro and hasn't had any problems with nursing at all, which I'm so grateful for. I can't get over how different Isaac and Owen's births were. From delivering one spontaneously and picking him up within seconds of birth, to not holding the other one for well over half an hour after birth. And yet, I don't feel any different about them or their births. Both were right for the situation we were in. Would I have preferred to have a natural birth versus a C-section? Yep, but I knew in the long run it wouldn't matter. What surprised me was how much it didn't even matter in the short run. Thank you so much, Hillary, for sharing this story with us. I really loved how you were able to shift and be in a positive place with your birth experience and see the positive in the situation. When your water broke, well, then there was no decision to be made. And I think that is a lovely place to be, where we can be flexible about how birth goes. We definitely have our plans, and I think it's good to have plans that we want and desire and visualize those, keeping in that flexibility. So if things don't go quite the way we have planned, we can still trust that things are moving forward in the way they need to. Thanks for joining us today. If you have an experience that you want to share about the spirituality of pregnancy or birth, please contact us. We love having guests on the podcast, or if you prefer to just write up your experience, we are happy to share it on our blog or on Instagram. And also, please share the podcast with your friends. This is how the word gets out that birth and pregnancy can be spiritual. The podcast and our book is one of the greatest ways to share that, as well as, of course, you sharing your experiences with your friends. Visit thegiftofgivinglife.com. Currently, our newsletter subscribers get free access to our online class, which is growing. And if you want more inspiration, of course, you can always buy The Gift of Giving Life on Amazon, either for yourself or it makes a great gift for any woman you know. Have a great week and know that you are loved.